Hey guys, how you doing? It's Coach Treggs here, the founder of 30 Plus Men's Fitness, and welcome to episode 15, I believe, of the 30 Plus Men's Fitness podcast. Now, before we get into it, and I'll tell you who I'm joined with or joined by virtually today, I'm going to be honest with you guys and tell you I've had a right nightmare of late, okay guys? So if you follow me on Facebook or you're in part of my email list or global community, you will know that probably about 2 weeks ago I interviewed Phil Learney. It was a fantastic podcast. I got some real value from it, which I've duly passed on to my clients. Unfortunately, I literally closed the laptop down after finishing up with Phil and didn't save the bloody podcast. So to cut a long story short, after stressing all afternoon and trying to revive it, which I couldn't, I emailed Phil the next day, who was really cool about it, but he can't do the recording again for another month. He's going to do it again. He can't do it again for another month because he's committed to recording on various different channels. So that was a bit of a disaster. I then also missed my flight to Lanzarote for our 30 Plus Men's Fitness Retreat last week. I can't really blame it on anyone else but myself, but should have left in better time. Poor visibility, leaving from the Forest of Dean after my nan's funeral, and I was literally a couple of minutes late and missed check-in, so I missed a day of the retreat, but not always lost. I flew out the next day and had a great time. I was meant to do the train with Treggs out there last week, but again, the connectivity was shit at the villa, so everything kind of got put on hold, even some of our program launches. So, you know, these things are sent to test us, right, guys? And it's very much about how you respond and not how you react. So I'm back in the lovely Cardiff now, and we're keeping everything moving again. Now, I've actually brought my next guest forward because I did make a commitment to you guys that we were going to do 2 podcasts a month. So I'm hoping to get this out by the 31st of January, which is this evening, in keeping my promise with you. So my guest today is a good friend of mine who is based up north. He's a guy that I've met on 1 or 2 occasions over the years at various courses on fitness and marketing. What I love about this guy is that he is really sort of balls deep in the trenches like me. He doesn't pull any punches. He's got 2 young sons who happen to be 5-year-old twins. So his life was turned upside down, very much like mine, when the kids come along. And he's doing all this family life. He's staying in shape. He's training hard and he's running a successful business. I've got my good friend Russ Meadows with me. How are you, Russ?
Very well, Mark. Thank you.
Good. Well, listen, buddy, I really appreciate you coming on today. As I said to the guys listening in, you've got a great story to tell, and I think we're going to get some great nuggets from it. So before we get into it, dude, for the guys that are listening that maybe just come into my funnel, they're not really following fitness on social media channels, all right? They're just looking to get up off the couch and get moving. Who is Russ Meadows? And tell us a little bit about yourself and your business, buddy.
Okay, so first of all, Mark, yeah, massively appreciate the opportunity to be on the podcast. And it's great to be helping out other like-minded dudes, really. So, I'm a 35-year-old normal guy with everyday stresses and strains that come with family and running business. So in terms of family, like you said, married. Been married 6 years, and we've got a 5-year-old identical twin boys.
Wow.
In terms of business, I run, I'm founder of RM Fitness, 2 gyms, and we specialise in transformation programs, essentially, but then also working with people over the longer term. So it's not just sort of get them in, get them transformed, get them out. Working with them over a period of time. And more recently, we're sort of specialising even more in kind of working with the kind of busy, driven people. So maybe people that are very career-focused or they've had kids and they need to find time for themselves because they've let themselves go and they want to get back into shape.
Excellent, dude. Great intro. I mean, it sounds like you're very hands-on with what you do. You're in the gym every day on the shop floor, so to speak, yeah?
Yeah, it's been an evolution. It started like that, and we went through a middle period where we scaled it, and it was very much not like that, where we probably grew the business too quick, and I was very hands-off for a year or two, particularly when the lads were first born. Mm. And then I'm back in now and found that, as we were saying off-camera, I found that happy medium where I'm doing a good amount of coaching, but it's not burning me out.
Excellent, dude. Okay then, buddy. Right, let's get into it now that you've introduced yourself to the guys. I always like to sort of go right back. I'm really interested with all of my podcast guests. Where did it all start? Where did your love of fitness training, where did it start, buddy? Take us right back.
So for me, it was probably about, it came from quite a young age. So being a low achiever, primary school, got put back a year, going into secondary school, learning difficulties. And for me, I found a massive sense of self-esteem from within the gym because I developed quicker than the other lads in my kind of age group.
Right,
so
okay.
I had a very good PE teacher in my like sort of first, second year at school, and he was like, fucking hell, you could be a beast if you get yourself into this serious training in the gym. Are we allowed to swear, by the way?
Of course you are, dude. Yeah, it's for over 30s men, dude. We don't give a fuck, mate.
He was like, yeah, you know, if you get your head down, you could be a beast in the gym, you could be good at rugby. So I found my self-esteem through doing that. And quite quickly, I sort of identified the fact that, look, if I look after myself, I eat the right foods, I do the right things in the gym, this is like age 13 or 14.
Right, okay.
I can be good at something. Then kind of that progressed and progressed and progressed. I became obsessed with the weight room, obsessed with training, sprinting, getting bigger, faster, stronger. And then picked up my academic side and went to uni, did sports science at uni.
Right, which uni was that, Russ?
That was Manchester Metropolitan
sure.
Uni.
Okay.
We were on like a sports campus, so the rugby side of things was intense and we had a good side. Played about 10 years of semi-professional rugby.
Right, okay.
The whole time just running my personal training business alongside of that.
Well, so hang on. So when did you actually set up the personal training business, bud?
So as soon as I finished uni, I was age 22. I went straight into like a self-employed personal training role.
Cool.
That was Stoke-on-Trent Fitness First. Worked with a load of former forces guys, army guys, and they were ruthless, and learnt a lot of lessons off them early doors.
Especially as a young lad as well, yeah.
It was brutal. But it was good for me, and I knew straight away, to be honest, at age like 22, this is, I wasn't looking at any other career options. I was like,
awesome.
I was balls deep in it.
Yeah.
From there, probably 6 years of working like kind of in a fitness first type commercial gym environment.
Yeah.
So working with general clients, so at first I thought I wanted to work with like other lads that were kind of playing rugby or like MMA fighters. I used to track people that were like that. But then I also used to work with like housewives or kind of busy, successful career guys. And it was just like a mixed group of people for quite a long time, really. Then the kind of transition for me, Mark, was I started doing these boot camps. And we're talking now 2000 and probably 7, maybe 8.
Cool.
And this was a real game changer for me. So I was a personal trainer that was like, my diary was completely full.
Yeah.
couldn't fit any more clients in. You know how that feels.
Yeah.
So I needed a bit more leverage. And at the time, there was your mate, Paul Moore, one of our mutual friends.
One of our mates, yeah.
And there was maybe one or two other guys in the UK at the time doing something called a boot camp model. And I was intrigued by it. So I was like, there wasn't that many people doing it. So I was like, right, how could I have a look at this? So rented a five-a-side football pitch on a Saturday morning, charged the clients like half of what they'd normally pay for personal training, leveraged it up, five people, eight people, turned into 10,
yeah.
Turned into 15, 20, 30, once a week, turned into twice a week, three times a week. And I did that for a year. And it was awesome. We had awesome results. People were loving it. It was cheaper than personal training. It was leveraged. It was great. From there, dude, what happened was the gym I was working at stopped me doing it on a kind of a health and safety kind of whim.
Wow, okay.
So that was where I set my own gym up from there. That was the kind of point at which I said, right, I need to do this in something that I'm in control of.
Yeah. So literally you've built your business up at the commercial gym, you've built this awesome boot camp up, they stop you from doing it, and you've said to yourself, right, let's go bulls in and get your own facility.
Exactly.
Right, so what age were you at the time then, Russ?
So I would have been, this was 2009, so I would have been like 28.
Okay, so now we know what's coming. So so this is when shit starts to get real, right, brother? So you're 28 years old and you go and get your own facility. All
yeah.
Right? Tell us a little bit about that, the pressures, the stresses. How did you go about it, buddy? Because I'm really interested to know that.
Okay, so first step was I just started looking at premises, and I didn't have a clue at like what it would cost or if it could work. And then I started to compare the rent I was paying at the gym as a self-employed coach versus paying rent. And I was like, right, I can make this work. So I found premises. And to begin with, all I did was just run those boot camps out of the premises instead of renting the five-a-side pitch and paying kind of, I think it was DW Fitness at the time, like £600 a month rent. I was like, right, I can make this work. So I found this shitty old premises that was far from perfect, that was the kind of HQ, the RM Fitness HQ, back in November 2009. And that was the start of it all, buddy. That was where it started. So it was just me. I had probably doing 30 hours of personal training a week and probably running 8 boot camp sessions per week. And that was the initial game plan before getting any staff on board to help.
Great stuff. So let's just go back. So you're approaching 30, married but no kids?
Correct? Yes, that's right.
Building up a business. Tell us about you back then. Tell us about your training. Because obviously, you know, you've been training hard from a teenager. You say you're a bit of a beast. You've got no sleepless nights as yet.
Yeah.
You've obviously dedicated yourself to the training. Tell us a little bit about how your training and nutrition was pre-turning 30 and how you performed.
Yes, yeah, so it's interesting. So we actually got married within a year of opening the gym. So in that year of opening the gym, I stopped playing rugby. So I identified that, look, this playing rugby now, at that point I was still playing semi-professional, so I was still getting paid.
Sure, but
I could earn a lot
for,
more
buddy?
from the gym.
Who were so you playing like, for?
Oh, at the time, so I played for Oral, which is in Wigan, Macclesfield, Chester, West Park, St Helens, Rugby Union.
Sure.
Proper man's game.
Yeah.
So, it was just about ditching the rugby and initially transitioning that time into the business. So straight away, you've got that kind of like, my training's got to decrease a little bit here because I'm more driven to make the business succeed than I am to, you know, continue training at like a really high level.
Yeah.
So that was the initial balance that was hard to find of like, I've had all these years where I've put a lot into my own training. Now I've got a business with real overheads and real consequences if I don't meet them. And all of a sudden I've got to take the back foot. So that was the first kind of like, shit, the game's changing a little bit here.
So how did you feel sort of moving yourself away from playing rugby? Because I mean, you were probably at your peak, right?
Yeah, I felt lost, Mark, to be honest. Like I did feel that because on one hand I had this successful business that was straight off the bat was financially doing very well. Stressful, mind, but it was doing well. And I missed that rugby. I missed that kind of interaction with the boys. And maybe some of the listeners on here can relate to that because as we get into our kind of 30s, we maybe stop doing things like, you know, lads might be playing five-a-side football or playing football on a Saturday or rugby. And we stop doing that.
Yep.
I think that's why what you're doing so good and creating these communities for men, because we lose that, even just the changing room banter.
Yeah.
Even just that kind of just being able to be free about what you're saying and what you're having a laugh about and not worrying about fucking upsetting Mary who's in the office who's getting offended because you're talking about whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I missed it massively. So, and that was when I started like really getting into having a few beers on a Saturday night, because normally it would have been a rugby game, a few beers with the boys. And now the rugby game's gone, so it's just a few beers in the house, and that's different.
Sure.
But things like everything was under control then, mate. There was no major issues at that point. I did miss it, but business was like, boom, I'm loving this.
Yep. Okay, so talk us through your training at the time and your nutrition protocols.
So I've always just been a fan of like, keep it simple, buddy. Yep. Like yourself, mate. I don't like fucking overcomplicated things. I acknowledge that, you know, to go to that next level, if you want to get a photo shoot done or really, really get shredded, then you need to be very precise about what you're doing with training and nutrition. For me, it's always been about powering up, keeping my head in the game.
It.
So the exercise is very much to weaponize the body and make sure I'm present and I'm my self-esteem's high.
Yeah.
I'm my energy and my food's about fueling it.
Sure.
For me, I believe in like a balanced approach, as boring as it sounds, like, you know, eating well but then enjoying things at the weekend, like not being OCD about it at the weekends.
We'll talk more about the sort of nutritional side.
So, in terms of it didn't change a great deal. I'm like more strength biased, so I've always enjoyed my strength training and set goals in the gym to, you know, like, I don't know, at the time it was like chase down a 50-inch box jump. That was the goal that I can remember specifically trying to achieve that before my wedding. And chasing like goals down within the gym to keep myself engaged, because I didn't have that rugby game to aim for every Saturday now.
Sure.
So it was about, well, where can I put my goals?
So, you know, during this time, you've sort of eased off from the rugby. You just got married. Your business is going well. Probably got all the time in the world to fit in your training in the gym. I remember those days just sort of hanging around, deadlifting with the lads. And saying, oh, yeah, I've got loads of time on my hands. And then, all of a sudden, your wife gets pregnant.
Yeah, boom.
Boom. So
that was
Was it planned?
No, not at all, mate. It wasn't planned at all. My missus actually had she had seen a specialist for a bit of a procedure she had to get taken care of before, and the strict instructions were you cannot get pregnant for 6 months after this kind of procedure she had done. So we're like, okay, fair enough. And then I think it was like one day before the 6 months was due to elapse, she got pregnant. We did a pregnancy test, and she had to go and see the specialist for this review after 6 months. And then the specialist did a special scan, and she was like, I'll never forget it. An Asian doctor, really nice lady. She said, Mr. Meadows, you need to come in the room. She says, I've got news and I've got news. The news is your wife's pregnant. The other news is it's twins. And I was like, what?
What was that moment like? Because I think I know it was a big fear of mine. In the nicest sense of the world, you know, what was that moment like when you had to digest you were going to have twins?
I'd say it was sheer excitement. To be honest, Mark, I've probably never been one to sort of look on things as negatively in that respect. It was just sheer excitement initially, you know, thinking about it. And then obviously as the provider, the protector, the leader of this family that's going to be here and of your business, you've got to start thinking logistically, like how the fuck is this going to happen? What are we going to do? Do you know what I mean? Like, things can't continue as they are now.
I remember when my partner got pregnant, and like literally, you're right, you get over the sort of initial excitement. I mean, because let's be fair, we don't know what's coming anyway. We think we've got it all worked out. But all of a sudden, I remember my brain just going into this mode, right, we can't live here. Right, we're going to need this. We're going to need this many car parking spaces. What if people visit? Oh, what about when she stops earning money? What about this? All these things are going through your head, right? Yeah. And it's like you almost fucking grow up in an instant.
Yeah, exactly. That was it, mate. I kind of believe it's a little bit airy fairy. I don't know how many of you are allowed to believe in this kind of thing, but I kind of believe there's sort of guiding omens that happen. And one thing that did happen on our honeymoon, so we went on the honeymoon and Michelle got pregnant not too long after that at all. And one of the things that happened on my honeymoon, I read a book called The E-Myth.
Yes.
It's about how, you know, for your listeners, if they haven't read it, and the business guys, I would recommend it. It's about how a business person can systemize what they do and remove themselves from the call face or the shop floor. So for me as a coach, how do I now continue doing what we do, but it's not about Russ Meadows being on the gym floor 24/7.
Sure.
And I read that book, a couple of months before Michelle got pregnant. All right?
Wow.
And that was like, wow. I'd made all these notes in the book. I'd highlighted it. I'd rewritten it out. I read it twice, actually, on our honeymoon. And I was like, this was just meant to happen. So straight away, I attacked that process then.
Sure. Funny enough, Russ, one of my business partners, is reading that book now, and he's sort of feeding back stuff to me every day. Okay, so, all right, so you know you've got twins on the way. The excitement has come, and now the seriousness is settling in. Tell me about when those boys come along. Tell me about how life changed for you. Tell me about your training, your nutrition, because you've been quite open about it, that just like me, you struggled initially. So yeah, I think this is going to be really valuable for the guys, because a lot of guys don't speak up about this. We're meant to be big, we're meant to be strong, we're meant to have everything under control. But let's be fair, it's tough, right?
Yeah, tough.
Okay.
So there's kind of, it goes in a couple of phases, or it went in a couple of phases for me. So obviously when lads who've got kids will know, when your kids first come out, it's just that moment. It's the best moment of your life. There's no other feeling like it. And you're massively aware of that responsibility, like immediately. Like as soon as it happens, it's there and it's on you.
Yeah.
Now for me, I'd done a lot of preparation work in the business leading up to this point. So I was quite well prepared in a business sense. But what that had also led to was me letting go of my personal fitness and personal nutrition at the expense of making sure that fucking business was as systemized as it could possibly be for that moment they were born. So at that point, I'd already probably had 3 or 4 months of really, really letting myself slip.
Really? In terms of, right, okay.
Yeah, so I'm going in and I'm training, but I'm not aggressive about my goals like I am now, or I was before and I was playing rugby as well. I'm not really watching my nutrition. I'm just kind of eating what I need to eat for short-term energy to get through the day. Caffeine was through the roof.
Been there.
And because we're frigging jacking up on caffeine and sugar to deliver what we're doing, then we need to self-medicate, and then it's things like just kind of, you know, just crashing down in front of the TV or having a few beers to come down for the day.
Yeah.
And it's this vicious cycle then, and then you're not sleeping properly, and it just becomes a cycle. Now, when they were first born, the lads, it's just a blend of adrenaline, isn't it? So my missus was kind of in the hospital for the first sort of 10, 12 days. So it was kind of just going back and forward. And one thing I'm very grateful for is that the two lads that I had working for me at the time in the gym kept the gym locked down, and they kept it running to a point where I didn't have to worry about like members leaving and things like that.
Excellent.
And you know, that allowed me to then concentrate on the boys for a period of time, and the family and Michelle, looking after Michelle as well. And what changes in an absolute instant is just your focus. All of a sudden you've gone from like, I'm focused on me and I'm focused on rugby. And then rugby's finished and I'm focused on my career. And then we're getting married. And then all of a sudden it's like, there's these two little boys and they need everything that I've got.
Yeah.
And the business like has to come second a little bit, because everything can't be 100% in your life all the time.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, that was, I stepped away from the business, and in retrospect, I wouldn't change anything, but it was a step too far, and I walked back into an absolute mess of chaos.
Sure.
Like a complete mess when I walked back in. And in some ways it was like, you know, I've got my priorities right, I've got my kids, but then you've got this thing of, well, fuck, I'm a provider, I need to, it can't be chaos, because it needs to be via, you know, like a good business, solid business. So then that's the moment then when things start. I don't know how you felt, but I feel like it's like being torn straight away. Family, like, well, not even family. You've got dad as one hat you've got on. You've got husband or partner as the other hat. And then you've got businessman, provider for the family with your third hat. And then the fourth hat, yourself, just goes to shit.
Yes. So all of a sudden we're putting ourselves last.
Putting ourselves last.
Yeah.
And that is right there where I see guys who, once they have kids, if they're focused on the career and they have kids, that's where they start neglecting themselves.
Yep.
And that's at that point there where shit starts to slide for most men, I think. I think up until that point, most men can do it if they want to do it.
So what happened to you physically, bro?
So for me, I stored a lot of fat around my belly.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, it's the stress, isn't it? Having too much sugar. And that visually, that's what happened. I got lost muscle mass. But then there's the knock-on effects of that on your self-esteem. So then, like, as a guy that's, like, formerly in good shape but looks after himself, to then have to operate in a business where you're a coach, especially, and you don't feel like you're anywhere near where you should be,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm telling you to do this, and I'm not fucking doing it. So what's my self-esteem like then as a coach?
Yeah.
And I think that you know, there's the sleep's not as good. Mentally, you feel like... I felt like it was very chaotic in my head.
Yep.
My thoughts weren't clear.
Yep.
Massive overwhelm of just like, well, how do I prioritise this time? You know, there's all the different things going on.
Yep.
How do I sort of compartmentalise like my life? And that had a massive effect on me. Like, for that first probably 18 months, that was a huge, huge effect.
I remember, you know, my eldest, John, he didn't sleep for 8 months. My missus was suffering. We ended up having to get somebody in to help us out. We both weren't sleeping. It was complete chaos. And then, you know, Sarah got pregnant on our first date night, I think. And then Elliot came up. And it's absolutely crazy. And I remember, like, before the kids come along, I would be running 10Ks in like 38 minutes, be running half marathons in like 1 hour 24. It was easy. It just came, you know. And then all of a sudden, I was signed up to these races. This is my story. And I start dropping out of these races. And all the lads are sort of taking a piss, going, ah, don't worry. Treggs has signed up for the half marathon, but he'll pull out a day before. So we'll have his thing. And yeah, he's going to drop out of this. And I was. And it was because I had no sleep. It was stress at home, completely overwhelmed, not looking after myself, Mrs. pregnant with another one, and not feeling the best. And it completely just sort of takes over your whole life.
Yeah, 100%.
And it is very, very hard to sort of rein it back in. I've sort of said only this year or in the last 6 to 8 months have I really started to have good quality sleep again. And we all know once you have a good quality sleep, you can pretty much deal with everything, right? The chaos that comes with it. Tell me about how did the lack of sleep affect your mental state and your training?
Well, people don't realise, I think, the kind of average person doesn't realise that sleep can turn you into a pussy. Sleep can make you make bad choices with food. Sleep can make you quit. Sleep can make you not show up for training sessions. Sleep makes you get injured. Sleep gets you out of shape. Like you've just said, sleep's like key if we're going to...
Yes, you mean lack of sleep, yeah?
Lack of sleep can have that effect on you. So if you're not managing your sleep, then it's significantly more difficult to get in shape. Now, this is where I think we need to draw a line in the sand as coaches, and we need to say to people, yes, you have got bad sleep because you've got young kids, you've got a lot going on at work, but how long are you going to let that excuse rule your current state?
I like it.
There's only so long that can go on for, and that was the honest conversation I had with myself. I looked in the mirror, I'm like, look, you're a fucking mess, you're meant to be a coach, and you look a mess. Your numbers are way off where they should be in the gym. You're not training consistently. And if you don't pull your head out your ass, you're not going to be able to lead that family, you're not going to be able to lead that business, and you're not going to be a provider protector that you see yourself as. And that was a conversation I had with myself. And I think guys listening, for me, I don't know what your views are, it becomes a point where it's not good enough.
Yep.
Yes, sleep's shitty. Yes, you're probably arguing with your missus because both of you are tired and who's looking after kids and this and that and the other. Yes, your business might be suffering because of the first two things we've mentioned, but at the end of the day, you need to get, you know, that's why your programs are so good, Mark, because like I followed some of your sessions where it's like, look, I'm not managed to get to that gym that day, but I've got a 24 kilo kettlebell here.
Yeah.
I just pick the fuck up and start doing swings and press in 2 set. 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's
it. I'm weaponized.
Yeah.
And that's all people need when they're in that chaotic state, isn't it? They don't need macros, bloody sets and reps.
Yeah. So this is, we're really getting into it now, and this is going to be great value. So at what point do you think that conversation came with yourself after having the kids? Was it sort of 18 months, 2 years? And what did you then do? I mean, I know what you did, but I think it's fantastic. Yeah. But you tell the guys what happened.
So I had two waves. So we had the first wave, which was immediately after having the kids, going downhill and picking it back up. That first pick back up, was, I'll be, you know, open and honest about it, I had two lads that were working for me that were like, one of them's frigging like went to the CrossFit Games and the other one's like not far behind him.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were good lads and they'd worked for me for a long period of time, but all of a sudden they've got lads in there that are, what, 4 or 5 years younger than me, not got kids, not got the same commitment, and where, say, in the gym I was like on a level, I never had that commitment to want to push, you know, to do something like compete in CrossFit, but I could hold my own in the weightlifting exercises to a degree with the fitness stuff we were doing, to then go from being like that to then just being kind of like 50% below that level.
Yeah.
If I'm being completely honest, it was like an ego kind of like, look, I'll fucking show, you know what I mean? I'm not going to have the members think that I'm not at a level.
Yeah.
You know, it's obvious that Russ has put a bit of fat on, and maybe looking back that people could have maybe empathized with that or maybe even sympathized with it, but I was like, no, I was too proud and stubborn to have that as an excuse for me. So a lot of my drive initially was to get that kind of positioning back, as in like somebody that people could look up to and say, well, if Russ can do it with the twins and with the business and that and the other, then I can do it.
Yeah.
And that was the initial drive, and that kept me going for a period of time. And then, so the boys are 5, so we're talking now when they're, what, 18 months, 2 years old. And then I hit another big dip. And this is what me and you were speaking about more recently. A lot of things happened in my life in one kind of like 6 month period. Like we moved into a much bigger house that was more expensive. We didn't rent our other one out. So we moved and got this other mortgage running. I was too busy to think about, even think about what I would do with that. I opened up a second gym, made one of my awesome coaches, Sam Dimmick, who's another Welsh boy like you, made him a director inside of the business. We opened up our second location in Manchester City Centre, massive overhead to it, massive risk. And I lost 8 members of staff, 7 members of staff over like a 6 week period.
Why?
So we went from a team of 8 to now, hold on, it's Sam and me, and we've got 2 gyms here.
And it was just, how did you lose those members?
The members of staff?
Yeah.
Mate, it was just a combination. I think, you know, I think when you want to push on to that next level, sometimes not everyone around you wants to come along to that next level.
Yeah.
And I think that's their choice, and I don't hold that back against them. A lot of them actually saw what I was doing and thought, do you know what, I could set up my own gym and use these principles I've learned here.
Yeah, it happens.
And they made that choice as well. And, you know, I wish them all the luck with that. But the reality of the situation was, they can lose sleep on that kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, I have done, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, me too.
Getting the shits that I got to, but it isn't a concern now. And it was just a chaotic time. For 2 years, it was utter chaos.
Hmm.
And the thing, and this will definitely help some of your lads that are listening to this, the thing that resonated with me is I was following a guy on social media from the States that's got a program, and he was all about the king needs to eat first.
I love this. Yeah.
And this changed my fucking world because initially I was just following all this free content. This guy's like posting videos on social media every day, and I'm like listening to this stuff. And it's just all about, if the core thing that hit me, the kick in the dick for me was, if the king isn't eating first, the empire will crumble.
Yeah.
So while you're a guy that's busy, that's got a family, that's pushing in your career, you think that you're doing the noble thing by putting yourself last.
Yeah.
Because you can earn the money, you can look after your missus, you can look after your kids, you can be the good dad, you can be the good partner. And that's, I think that works for a period of time. What happened to me was that I put myself last that much that I got out of shape, my self-esteem suffered, my confidence suffered. I had no personal energy. I had no personal power. I lost what I was all about. I was questioning everything I was doing. I wasn't clear on anything. And then I'm not a leader within my business, to my staff and to my members, to my tribe, people follow me. I'm not a leader in the house. And I'm not driving forward and earning the kind of money that I want to be earning, essentially. So that was the big turning point. I moved into his program. And he was just every single, it was $100 a month, so it's like 80 odd quid a month. And the only thing you paid for was to be in an environment where he was doing a live call every single week.
Sure.
And that live call revolved around different topics, but the common theme was sort yourself out, put yourself first.
Yeah.
And it was just that ingraining that into my head was like, fuck, I need a complete change.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, Tregsy, I was sat there, not this Christmas gone, because it was going from 2015 to 16 was the change. I was sat on my settee upstairs, the missus and the kids. I'd put on 21 pounds. I had this belt of fat around my belly. I wasn't training consistently like I could do. I was stressed out to shit. I was drinking on the verge of, to be honest, a point I was worried about. Maybe
really?
To some people
wow.
they won't worry, but I'm like, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, I cannot wait to go and get a few cans in and just sit there and drink them.
Right.
And I'm like, that's then. I'm eating all the kids, bloody crisps and chocolate.
Yeah.
After I've had a couple of cans. Like, nothing.
Dude.
To the point.
It's exactly like it went for me, mate. It's where it resonates so much for me, yeah. Let me just stop you there, because for the guys that are listening, we're talking about a guy called Garrett J. White, that he leads a movement called the Warrior, or Wake Up Warrior.
Yeah, Wake Up Warrior.
And I know Paul Moore, who's a good friend of ours, has been in his program, has completely changed his life, and I know there's lots of other guys that are following his program. So we're going to talk about how that changed Russ's sort of outlook on things in the past. But what one thing I think, Russ, is... people's perception, I always say this, right? It's like social media, you talk about it, it's a fucking highlight reel. People think, like you said, what happened to you with your business? People look at you and they go, oh, I can do that. Oh, Russ must be killing it. He's got a gym, he's got this. It's exactly the same for me. Like people go, oh, 30 plus men's finished, Tregs must be smashing it. They don't know what the VAT bills are. They don't know what the staff bills are. They don't know what the childcare costs are. They don't know any of that shit. They just see the stuff. And they see it on social media and they think, oh, I could go and do that. So I know what you said, like you had people that went off and did their own thing, and it's a fucking kick in the teeth. I've had a friend. What is that? How's your dog? I've had it done, and it's an absolute kick in the teeth, and you do lose sleep over it. But people will learn. It's not fucking easy out there, is it? You know, it's completely chaotic when it comes to the business. And I think what happened to you was very similar to what happened to me. I ended up going and having some CBT because I had a knife put in my back in business. And it basically, I was self-medicating on weekends, beers. I was overeating, loads of crisps. Like you said, the kids, anyone who says, oh, you know, they don't give their kids junk, it's a fucking liar. You know, it's like, I used to say I wouldn't before they came along. But you do have a little bit of junk in the house. That's just the way it is. And yeah, I was doing exactly the same. And I remember going and getting some CBT. And the first thing the guy said to me was, okay, you're a provider, you run a business, You know, you look after your wife and your kids. What are you doing for you? And I said, well, I go to work. I love it. I enjoy my fitness. He said, yeah, but that's a job. And it was funny because my missus knew I love my work so much, and she thought I was going to work for a break. And we do know that, you know, being in a gym is easier than looking after two kids. But at the same time, I was still doing 10 hours in the gym, then doing my online stuff, and I was completely done in. And when he said to me, what are you doing for yourself? Because if you don't put yourself first, everything else is going to suffer. It's as simple as that. And it really did make me look at things and make changes in my life. So this is why I think our stories are so similar, because I had the sort of I had the awakening with the CBT, whereas you found Wake Up Warrior. Now, with Wake Up Warrior, I want you to talk about how it's helped you change your life, how it's helped you take charge of your life. And I know he talks about something called the Core Four. If you want to talk us through that and what you do differently every day now to have got yourself feeling great physically and mentally again.
Yeah, so the first one between the sort of Christmas and New Year, going from 2015 to 16, that was a slightly different program. It was a variation of a Warrior. So I was in that one for 12 months. That was a much lower level of commitment. That was just a live call every week. That was kind of similar principles, but not the same thing. And then so that got me going. That really kick-started me. I was aware I needed to change a lot of things in my life. Or not a lot of things, change a few things, but quite radically. So then I joined, when I went into Wake Up Warrior, the biggest thing there is just kicking off your daily routine. So they've split things into like the four categories, which is body, balance, being, and business.
Okay.
So body is about weaponizing the body. It's not so much, well, it's not at all about having a six pack. And that was a big change for me, because I'm like, all of a sudden, well, actually, that resonates for me. I'm not that motivated about particularly what I look like. I don't want to look like I don't train.
Sure.
I'm not that bothered about having abs, if I'm being honest. I'm more bothered about getting self-esteem and power from what I do in a training session and transferring it into being a good dad, a good husband, a good businessman. So the body component in Warrior is very much about that, which suited me straight away. He talks about weaponizing the body, like priming the body for battle that day. Balance is all about relationships. So we've all got multiple relationships. That's like significant other or partner. That could be kids. That could be people in your organization. So like talks about like people within your council. So that could be like, so say for me, my business partner, Sam, my relationship with him, my relationship with my teams. And then you've got your relationship with your members, and then just relationships with people in general.
Sure.
So there's a component that's about balancing those relationships. So it's body balance. Being is your mindset. So like, what work are you doing on your inner game to make sure that you're not letting things like whoever stab you in the back, you're not letting things like that bother you and hold you back.
Sure.
You're using that as fire, as fuel for the fire.
Sure.
Rather than kind of going into like an apathy state where it's like a victim mentality. So that's kind of your headspace and looking after your headspace. And then business speaks for itself. But one thing I like about Warrior is that you don't have to have a business. So I think when you and I talk about business together, we're very much on the same page, because not only have we got a business and a missus and kids, but we've got quite a similar business, a coaching business. Whereas what Warrior identifies is that just because they call it business, you could just be like a real career-driven guy.
Sure.
So like maybe you work in a corporate environment, you're just driven to like work up the ladder.
Yeah.
Or maybe aspirations to open a business. So the Warrior sort of tagline is like having it all.
Yeah.
So that's where we're saying the common mentality of like, right, I'm really, really going to push in business, and I'm going to let my other areas slide.
Yeah.
So that I've got this nest egg in 5 years where we're like mint, we're absolutely loaded, and then at that point I can find balance.
Yeah.
He just completely kicks that one in the dick and kicks it out of the park and says, we're not interested in that. We want optimization in all areas, and we're going to be aggressive about segmenting your life into these four areas and pushing.
This is so interesting, because I think when you talk about having it all, and we're busy guys in our 30s, 40s and 50s, you know, I'll be very brutally honest and say that is fucking difficult. You know, how do you have that amazing relationship with your kids? How do you have that amazing relationship with the wife? How do you have that amazing business? How do you have that amazing body whilst trying to juggle everything? All right. So let's talk about having it all, and let's talk about the steps that he's given you to plug in every day? Like, what are you doing? What are you actually practically doing different that you can pass on to the guys listening now to start to make these positive changes?
So the first thing is just getting what we call like real and raw about kind of how you feel about things. So the basic principle is that you can't build something off a foundation of lies. So if you're not being honest with yourself about how you feel about, maybe if I go back 12 months, 18 months, I was drinking too much at the weekend. If I'm not being honest about that, I can't do anything. So the first thing we need to do is say, like, what are the facts? I'm 21 pounds overweight. I'm fucking training as and when I feel like training. I'm training like a bit of a pussy. Or I'm training too hard and getting injured, actually, in my case. So that's the facts. That's the first thing we all need to do, the facts. And then how does that make me feel? And then from there, we've then got a foundation to build on. So in terms of the body, that's just doing some form of exercise every day. So you get different points. So it's like a scoring matrix, which I'm not going into too much detail because it's probably beyond the scope of this to explain the detail of it. But the basic format is you can get a total score every day of so many points for hitting these different elements.
Right, okay.
So it's a gamified process now. Yeah. All of a sudden, instead of saying, oh, yeah, I worked out, or I didn't work out, or I was tired, or I didn't feel like it, it's like, did you get your point for working out, yes or no?
This is so interesting. Everything
yes or no.
So interesting, yeah.
It's epic. So the first thing is or the second thing after being real and raw, is that it's gamified. So it's like, I don't want to hear about whether you're trying. I don't want to hear about what your intentions were. I don't want to hear about your stories. I don't want to hear about why you didn't do it. Yeah. Did you do it, yes or no?
Where's the score? Where's the tick in the box, yeah.
Exactly. So that's, from a body point of view, it's more geared around like weaponizing the body. And what kind of Wake Up Warrior and Garrett do really well is they say, well, what's relevant to you? So he doesn't put his biases onto everybody, like saying, well, at the minute, like he's got a certain routine where he does a lot of running.
Yeah.
He's not really into his heavy lifting.
Sure.
You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, for me, I am into my lifting and I don't want to have to fit in a box of being judged on, well, running's the best way to be in shape.
I like it.
Yeah, it really, that bit really resonated with me. It's like, find something that you enjoy that works for you and do it. That's the body. And the other element is like making sure you get your green smoothie in every day.
Okay.
It's like cleansing, it's a bit of a cheesy term, isn't it? I don't really like the word cleanse, but it's kind of just, it makes your gut feel clean.
Vitality, yeah.
Just your shit. There's nothing better than having a good shit, as Garrett says. It keeps you regular.
Yep.
You feel cleaner inside of your gut. And that's the second element of body, is like fueling the body.
Sure.
Balance is just about your relationships. It's just investing in relationships on a daily basis and making sure you're doing that.
Okay.
So things like doing things with your kids, doing things with your missus, working on relationships with other people.
So let's just talk about that a little bit, because, you know, a lot of the guys listening to that, and me included, we live in complete chaos. And, you know, I like to think of myself, I'm a very hands-on dad, like you, I can imagine. And I have great times and great relationship with my kids. But I know Morty spoke about this a lot, having almost like one-on-one time with them and alone time with them. Because I've found, I don't know about your boys, but together, mine are like an Asbo. Alone, that they're great. And it's great when you go out and do stuff with them individually, one-on-one. You get so much feedback, which is lovely. But I think a lot of people with two kids don't tend to think that way. They're like, right, we've got them. Let's get... So sometimes me and my missus actually say, right, you take one and have a nice day with him, and I'll take the other. And although we're being separated, we're actually getting nice one-on-one time with our kids. And I think it's very difficult to try and fit all this in and then have time with your missus. So how do you go about that now? Because this is not just about fitness. This is about everything.
So what kind of talk about in Warrior as well is like hitting singles. So obviously, you know, the Yanks, the Americans are into the baseball, and the analogy they give is, don't try and hit home run every time.
Right.
So instead of trying to hit it out of the park and worry about, like, well, I need to take, you know, one of the kids on this massive, like, day-out trip and maybe you're going to take the other one. It's like, that's, like, classed as a home run. And that's good if you can get it done. But the emphasis is very much on, like, the daily activity. So, like, hitting a single is just, like, you know, just nudging a single. So I suppose in boxing, it'd be like sort of just throwing a jab every day rather than trying to throw like a knockout right hook.
Sure.
Don't try that one with your missus.
Yeah.
So it's kind of things like maybe leaving like a note. Like, so if I leave the house early in the morning, so if I'm out the door at 6 a.m. to go and train or something, it's like I might leave a post-it note saying to my missus, you know, brilliant, you know, I had a great time watching that movie with you last night. Yeah. Love you, Lord.
Amazing.
Something personal and meaningful.
Amazing. Yeah, I remember Garrett doing things like this. And also, again, sorry to jump in, but I remember Paul Mort spoke about investing in their emotional bank account. And actually being spending time and being present with them, because investing in that time emotionally pays off in the long run if ever you can't be present at a certain time. So actually turning your phone off, which we all know is fucking difficult as a business. I put my hands up. I'm very guilty of it. And anyone who tells you that they're not is a liar. All right. But actually, you know, one thing I always look at now is if I go to a play centre with the lads, of course there's a time where I'm sat down on my phone having a coffee, but I'm always very aware to put that down and put it away and get in the mix with them. Not just for them, but I enjoy it as well. But that time is emotional investment. The time jumping on the bouncy castle with them, the time chasing them, you know, in the soft play and going on the go-karts with them. That's that emotional investment. Would you agree?
Totally, Craigsy. It's like with your fitness, isn't it? It's like every session you do, every good meal you eat, every good night's sleep you have, every time you hit your water target, that's like making an investment into the bank account.
Yeah.
If you have the bank account of fitness, if you ever need to make a withdrawal from that account, you've got some reserve there. You know what I mean? You might one day get in the fight of your life. You might have to chase some fucker down the street that's just mugged your missus or whatever.
Yeah.
You'd never know when you're going to need to draw on that reserve. And if you're not making any deposits into it, how the hell can you expect to make any withdrawals when you need it?
Or
with me, you know, with you and I, when we're pushing in our business, we're pushing our body to the limits, like stress levels, energy levels. How can you make those withdrawals if you're not putting the deposits in with good food, with sleep, with water, with good food?
Yeah.
And a big shift in my head's going from seeing it like that in a fitness context to seeing it like that in the key relationships in my life in that context as well. It is a two-way relationship, and if you're always making withdrawals,
yep,
then you've no reserve. There's no latitude there.
Yep.
So yeah, the balance conversation is very much about that, but it's very much about like the little things as well as like doing things individually with kids and stuff like you said, it's quite overwhelming. And what Garrett's good at doing is saying that, well, let's just make these small daily investments.
Yeah.
Because they add up.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about how your weekends have changed now since the kids have got a little bit older. Because you were saying you were self-medicating, you're drinking a lot. And I think, you know, that's not easy. But when they're not on their feet, right, when they're just like lying there, they don't do a lot. You can almost get away sometimes with being a bit lazy. But you know what? They don't tell you. When you have kids, you imagine this lovely little cuddly new baby is, they get up on their feet after 18 months or 2 years. And then every weekend, you've got to be active. And you've got boys like I have, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, mate. Boys are like dogs. They just need fresh air. They need to be run and need to eat and shit and sleep. And basically, your weekends are never the same. So one thing I've found now is I can't really afford physically and mentally to have more than 2 or 3 beers on a Saturday night, because my boys are up on Saturday and Sunday and they want to be active.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I've often, you know, I follow you on social media, you're out, you're doing these long walks on a Sunday. Me and my missus have found that really works, just getting the kids out and getting out for long walks on a Sunday. We've both got the Fitbit, so we're addicted to the kind of gamification, what you're talking about. How do you go about your weekends now when previously you were self-medicating? Because you've got to get a balance, right?
Yeah, like, you know, I'm never going to be the sort of guy that says, like, right, you know, to get in shape, you completely cannot drink alcohol. Like, yeah. I don't believe in that, but I believe we've all got a tipping point that when we go over it, it's starting to be like, am I enjoying a couple of beers while I'm watching friggin' X Factor on a Saturday night?
Yeah.
Or am I actually, like, is there a deeper reason for me, like, wanting to take it to the next level?
Yeah.
And I think for everyone, they've all got their own point. Like for me, that was never particularly like a huge, huge, huge amount of beer. I know some lads can put shitloads away. But for me personally, it's the difference between having maybe, like you said, 2, 3, possibly 4 bottles of Budweiser,
yeah,
versus having 8.
Yes.
That's the difference I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like the energy levels and waking up grouchy, if you've done that on a Saturday night, what you like then on a Sunday with the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a knock-on effect.
Yeah.
And I think, for me, I can have that sort of 2 or 3 beers and get up and not even feel it.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I can have that on a Friday night for one. I can get up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday and I can train hard in a couple of bottles of beer.
Yeah.
But, it's when it goes to that next level. And I think that I'm exactly the same as you, buddy. We like getting out to, my missus is from the Wirral, so there's a decent coastline. So we like getting the dog out, taking, yep, the kids out, going for a walk on a Sunday morning.
Yep.
That's something we do probably 8 Sundays out of 10, to be honest.
Brilliant.
And it's just about doing things with the kids, because the other thing I'm aware of, and you'll be the same, is it goes quick.
Yeah.
And I bet when you're looking at your oldest one and you're seeing your youngest one coming up behind, it probably just reinforces that for you, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's absolutely frightening. And yeah, I think as well, being a dad to young boys, you want to be that example. You want to be out there running around with them in the park. It's what I say in my ebook and in my emails. It's like, look, if you can't, how are you going to feel if you can't, you know, chase after your kids in the park? You can't get out in the fresh air with them and show them that example. It's funny because, you know, all the gifts those kids get for Christmas, and I'm sure is exactly the same for you, and you can't stop the grandparents from buying them gifts, but they're at their happiest out in the fresh air, bloody fighting with sticks and jumping in puddles.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know, and that's why we have to be able to get out with them on the weekend, have that energy to do that, and be an example to them, right? So look, dude, we've been chatting for about 50 minutes. I want to switch tracks a little bit because we're going to talk for a little bit more. What you spoke about then is, you know, you can achieve your results whilst having a couple of beers and having a balance. Now, I'm evolving. I talk about this to a lot of people on my podcast. If you'd have come to see me 6 years ago before I had kids and I was big into my paleo and CrossFit and, you know, I just went shopping every evening to Tesco's and picked up 2 turkey steaks and some broccoli and a bottle of water. It was easy. There was no temptations in the house. There was no junk. There was no nothing. I would have probably told you to man up and eat, you know, fish and vegetables 6 times a day. But you know what? Now that's difficult. And most of the guys listening to this podcast know that. And you have to have a balance and you have to have a life. When we get people through the door on our 21-day programs, it is quite an aggressive plan to make them make changes. Because most of these guys are living off takeaways. They're drinking beers. They're maybe not having a nourishing breakfast, and they're just getting stuff from the vending machine most days. So we try and tackle that quite aggressively. But beyond that, and when I work with people one-to-one or in subsequent programs, we do look at more of a, what I call it, moderation, balance, flexible. And it seems to be where the industry is leaning right now. So what is your current take with nutrition, your philosophies, and what are you applying yourself and with your clients?
Yeah, so I think what we do is we identify where people are at that point. So we meet them where they're at. So if you're currently, like you're saying, some of the lads coming into the 21-day program and they're in chaos in terms of they've no real training structure in place. They've no, like, even thoughts about nutrition. They're not drinking enough water. They're not even doing the basics. They've no awareness of the basics sometimes, or they've got awareness, but they're not doing the basics. Then I think it's reasonable to say that those guys need a different approach, the guys that have been doing things consistently,
absolutely,
that have seen results, that have built up a base, that now want to go into that next level.
Yeah.
So we separate everyone we deal with in the gym, in our 2 gyms, we separate.
Right.
So you're either going from chaos to good, and that's about moderation, that's about slow, steady changes of habits, that's about getting some exercise done, and we don't have to be that specific maybe about that. That's about just getting people moving better, eating better, feeling better, doing the basics. And in my view, someone with kind of an average guy, if you could take an average guy, that's going to take them to a certain point. A lot of people might well be very happy at that point. You've got lean, you've probably got a flat stomach, you might be able to see a bit of definition on your stomach, you probably put a bit of muscle mass on, you look good in a t-shirt, you look significantly better than when you started, and you feel better. At that point, we then need a conversation of, do you want to go from being good to great?
I like
so you've
it.
Gone from shit to good.
Yeah.
Right. Do we now want to go from good to great? Because if we do, it's a different ballgame here.
Yeah.
We now need to be tracking things. So this is where my business partner, Sam, comes in.
Right.
He's that guy you talked about. He's 29 years old. He's not got the kids. And he is just, he's more focused on, well, like, let's get these macros right. Let's get these calories right.
Yeah.
Let's not make fucking excuses. Let's not enable these people to make excuses for themselves. And he brings that other dimension to our business where I'm probably a bit, oh, they want a few beers, and if they've been arguing with the missus or the kids, then they might want to pee. And he's like, he brings that harsher side to it.
Sure.
Like, well, they need to be following something.
Yeah.
So then we say, well, right, if we want to go from good to great, we need to be tracking calories. We need to be tracking macros, which is protein, fats and carbs.
Yeah.
We need to be tracking more variables inside of the gym. We probably need to be training more than just like 2 to 3 days a week. And that's in a nutshell, that's how our approach has evolved. And that's how, in our business, having 2 of us that, he's like I was when I was 29.
Yeah.
And it's only through going through my experience in the last 6 years of having the twins and the business going from being like good to bad to good to bad to good, that I've probably come to understand what a guy who's over the age of 30, kids, family, fucking pushing in the career, they're not that guy who's going to Tesco and getting the chicken and the broccoli yeah. And the bottle of water.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, let's face it, when you're a young single guy and you're getting your sleep, I look back at the person I was then, and it was so easy to be disciplined. It was so easy to be disciplined. And you'd walk in, you know, your apartment was the same state as when you left in the morning. You could come in, you know, stick on your turkey sticks, flick on Sky Sports News, and maybe just have a doze on the sofa. It was easy. Nowadays, you know, you walk into complete chaos. The curtain rail's been pulled down. The missus is trying to cook a nice dinner for you with the kids running around scrapping. You know, there's a poo in the toilet which hasn't been flushed, which means one of the kids needs their bum wet. It's complete chaos. And sometimes you just go, ah, fuck. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it's stressful. And you can find yourself eating stuff. Oh, what am I doing? I'm eating this kind of stuff. Whereas in the past, you can kind of look at people and go, why can't you do that? And I think when you become a parent and you have kids and you evolve as a person, and you can see, you know, for me, 30 plus trebled, quadrupled when I became a dad, and I started to talk about it in my emails. And I look at my approach now, and let's be fair, Russ, right? There's multiple ways to skin a cat, right? And I think these days, you know, of course we want people to eat real foods. We want them to eat clean. We want them to drink plenty of water. But there's so many other variables that we can add in depending on where somebody is at currently in their life. Would you agree?
Yeah, totally, 100%. And I think what's also very, very relevant that people underestimate, and I didn't even realise this, he's like, if there's a guy that's got himself into good shape, he's gone from chaos to good over a 12-month period, he's inside of one of your awesome programmes, and he's done well. He's leaner, he's fitter, he's stronger, he's feeling good, and he feels compelled to go on to that next level now and start taking it up a gear. As guys, I think generally we're driven and we do want to keep progressing, but you need an honest conversation. Like, am I prepared to do what it takes to actually get abs? Do I really, really, really want to do that? Or do I just want to keep making a slow and steady progress and keep chipping away at the process and over another year maybe get, you know, a bit further on? People have got to look at, well, what does it take? And what does it take to get into really good shape? And am I actually prepared to do it?
Yeah.
The answer for me right now is I'm not prepared to make any more sacrifices to drop, you know, to drop another 5% body fat. I'm not prepared to do that.
And I think when we talk about transformation, I mean, you know, some of my plans are short, sharp, 21-day plans. You can do a 42-day plan, 10-week, 12-week. But I think when we're looking at real transformation, you've got to be looking beyond that. You've got to be looking at 12 months, you know, even 18 months. It's like a lot of people will join the plans and they're like, oh my God, I've only lost this in, you know, 2 weeks. And we're like, but you've abused yourself for the last 15 years. You know what I mean? You've got to, this is your kickstart. These are the principles, but, you know, long-lasting transformation takes time. And more now, I'm saying to my clients this year, look, I've got a lot of my clients tracking. They're using their Fitbits and they're using my Fitness Pal. And I'm saying to them, look, it depends, you know, how much of a deficit do you want to go into? You'll lose more weight in a bigger deficit, but it's going to be unsustainable. You know, you could create a 500-calorie deficit a day, 7 days a week, without even knowing it, and you're losing a pound a week. Oh, a pound a week, it's not cool. I want more. Okay, well, go in this massive calorie deficit, lose your 3 or 4 pounds, but then do that next week. You're not going to do it. You're set up for failure. So more and more as I evolve, and at 38 years old now, I'm thinking more about, you know, transformation does take time, and slower and more steady could be a better approach for some of us over 30s, guys. What do you think to that, bud?
Mate, it's my biggest kind of issue that it's a big bugbearer, to be honest, because I think you've got two approaches. You've got guys that kind of want it all like immediately.
Yeah.
And I think because we're running a scaled business, you can't be totally honest on the front end of things and have that conversation. Look, fucker, you've spent 10 years abusing yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to need 2 years at least to be able to create these changes. Yes, you can lose a bit of puppy fat in 90 days, 8 weeks, 21, whatever, but to create these long-lasting changes and not rebound yourself back to where you were, you're going to need to invest 12 months minimum.
Yeah.
But if we say that on the front end, Trexie, the issue that we get is people are, I'll go around the corner and take this. Yeah. I'll go and take some T5s, or I'll go and, you know, this dude at the gym selling this shit, what can make me do it quicker, that's better than... And we're under this constant pressure of, it's difficult to be totally honest. Like, that's my total honest view. Like, the whole time I've trained, I've never been in a rush to, like, oh, I need to get this in 8 weeks. I'm just training. I just want to get stronger. I want to get leaner. I want to get bigger. I'm not in, like, this major urgent mentality to do that.
Well, I remember... Go on.
Just because everything's so accessible, like the level of information people can access through the internet now,
yeah,
means that, well, there's a marketed solution over there that's like, I can get that result in 8 weeks.
Hmm.
And we're under pressure, I think, with our coaching businesses to you've got to sell that a little bit on the front end to bring people
Yeah, I will have programs which are 6 week transformation, but then I'll always put in the copy, look, this is a program that will get you on the road to a transformation like these guys here that have done it over 12 months. This was the program where they started. Now, going back to what you were saying then, I read a really great post by you over the Christmas period, and you were like, you said in January, like, there's so many people that are going from one fucking extreme to the other. Last week, they're balls deep in cake and alcohol, and this week, you know, they're cutting out this, they're cutting out that, they're going so extreme, whereas actually, all you could have done was slightly reduce that this week and still got on results. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, these extremes that you see, bud.
Yeah, it's just my personal approach to it is how I do things myself. So that post you're talking about was, it just did me head in. It's like the first, from January the 1st, everyone's all of a sudden got these New Year's resolutions, they've got these new trainers, they've got this new fancy shit, they're going on these big runs, they're putting pictures onto the fucking chicken and broccoli in the tub. And it's like, do that week in, day out, week in, week out. It's not going to last. You need an approach that's going to actually last the time frame it's going to be required for you to get the results and then maintain the results.
Yeah.
So, what was the question?
No, it's just about, you were just saying about how, you know, people were completely off the rails at Christmas and then, you know, the week later they're going massive extreme. It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable and they don't need to do it because if you're going from, let's say like, right, I'm drinking... Over a period of a weekend, I'm drinking 20 bottles of beer, I'm having 2 takeaways, I'm not exercising at all, I'm not drinking any water. That doesn't need to turn into, I'm training both days, Saturday, Sunday, I'm not drinking any alcohol, I'm drinking 3 litres of water, I'm eating chicken and broccoli for every meal. It just needs to be, you were absolute dog shit before, just be a bit less dog shit this week, a bit less the week after, and a bit less. And that's how we get results and create forward momentum that's sustainable.
I was getting clients that were messaging me, and I spoke about this on the last podcast at Christmas, setting crazy goals for the new year. Crazy goals. And I'm saying, whoa, you're setting this goal, you're hungover, you probably don't feel good, you've gained some weight, and you're setting this extreme goal, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. Whereas all you got to do is get back to basics, and probably in a month to 6 weeks, you're going to feel great, and you're going to be thinking, fuck, why did I put my pressure on myself to achieve a very extreme goal, which probably wasn't necessary?
Yeah. I think the pressure needs to be put on people, or they need to put it on themselves, to execute the basics consistently well. Yeah. So instead of saying it's like big, fancy, like 12-month goal, well, I'm going to set a 90-day goal of I'm going to do 3 gym sessions a week, okay? Whatever 3 times 90 is, that's your goal, right? 270 training sessions in a 90-day period. Right, I'm going to eat, well, 80-90% of the time. I'm going to hit like this much, 2 litres of water. I'm going to get to bed at this time. And if they focus on the basics, the basic processes, and they do that consistently over 90 days, they're going to get the result anyway.
Yeah, I think it's about that habit forming. Myself and Jamie Alderton spoke about it, and it was like, you know, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth. That's, well, at least you hope you do. That's normal. You turn the key in the car and start driving, and it's all subconsciously because you've laid that down. You've created it as a habit. So if you're doing things too extreme, there's no way that's going to be a lifelong lasting habit. But if you just say, oh, look, try and have 2 to 3 litres of water a day. You know, you've got these apps on the phone now where you can track everything. 2 to 3 gym sessions, it's not unrealistic. I get people that come to me and they go in the new year, right, I'm going to give up drinking, I'm going to give up smoking, I'm going to start exercising. I'm like, whoa, look, slow down. For a start, I've never smoked, so I can't help you with that. But, you know, you don't need to go from coming in at 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning because you've been in nightclubs all night to worrying about exercising 7 days a week because it's completely fucking unsustainable and you're going to blow your balls in the first week. You're going to blow your beans.
Yeah. Totally.
Over the years, what sort of things have you seen people come to you with? What is the most common problem that you see sort of busy over 30s men coming to you with? Is it a kind of an unrealistic perception of what they can achieve or too short a time frame? Tell us about some of the instances you've had.
I think there's 2 categories, really. There's people from within the organisation, isn't there? So we're dealing with, in my context, we have a general membership that's, we run coach, you know, our membership's like we coach people through a program, yeah? So they're working out in a group, but it's like personal training in a group, yeah?
Yeah.
So there's people within that organization and there's frustrations that come with that. And that's very much about keeping people on track, not letting people kind of like jump onto the shiny object. Like you said, not getting people getting too excited about a goal that's like too big, that's unsustainable. And it's just about keeping people focused on the basics and not getting distracted. I think people that are coming in the first place, I see a different issue. I see an overwhelm of choice.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they've got like a million different options and they're struggling to kind of process which one's going to be best. They end up taking that long to make a decision, they don't make a decision,
yeah,
and then they're just in the same place. Or they get started on something and don't fully have confidence in it. And when they don't have confidence in it, they quickly stop doing it and end up back in the same place. And I think that's compounded with just a lack of belief. I think dudes that, because we're talking about now people that may be coming to us in the first place, yeah?
Yeah.
I think that dude that sat on the settee thinking about doing something, it's just sometimes a lack of belief in the fact that they can do it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's different. Treggs is different. He lives in a gym. Russ is different. He lives in a gym. He's played rugby when he's younger. He's different. I'm special little delicate flower, and it's nonsense. It needs smashing out the park.
I'm gonna throw some things at you now, buddy. Right, and I want you to just give me some quick fire answers. Right, I'm gonna put you on the spot. I'm gonna give you a few buzzwords that have been in the industry over the years. All right. Because we're going to go for about another 10 minutes, all right, bud? We're going to wrap up with what your plans are for the rest of the years. So I'm going to throw a few things at you. I want you to give me your honest opinion, all right? Are you ready for this?
Let's go.
Okay, cheat meals.
Good, fine.
Right, not an okay. Issue. Yeah, okay. How often would you recommend them?
I think you need to be focused on what progress you're making.
Yep.
So if you're having a takeaway type meal a week, you need to be aware about how bad that is, like a Domino's pizza, like a large pizza, certain ones when we're over 2,500 calories,
yep,
we're working fucking hard Monday to Friday, you eat that pizza and a few beers and you can kiss goodbye to any results.
Yes.
People don't realise that, and that's not something I've realised for a long time, to be honest. That's something my business partner Sam pointed out when we looked in a bit more detail,
yeah,
for a,
yeah,
few clients. So for me, it's like, well, why not just have like a steak and some chips and some coleslaw?
Yeah.
You're not going to be banging 2,500 calories.
Yeah, and a beer.
At the same time, and a bit, yeah, beer or two with it. Like, so that's my take on it.
Yeah, no, I think I spoke about this with Phil. He was saying, you know, you can still eat unclean, but be lower calorie. And I think he did say, he compared the burger and chips to the whole pizza, and you're saving yourself a hell of a lot of calories. You know, one thing I've actually started to say to clients is, look, if you're going out for a 3-course meal in the evening with the missus, a cheat meal or whatever it is, why don't you just not eat much in the day? You're not going to go into starvation mode. You're just saving up your calories for later. So
yes,
throw in a fast, get your 10,000 steps on your Fitbit, do some activity, enjoy your meal later guilt-free. Okay,
yeah.
So cheat meals, yeah, but just be aware of the calories, right?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on gluten at the minute, buddy? That seems to have been quite a popular thing in the industry over the last 2 years.
My view is people major on the minors. You abused your body for a number of, you know, for a period of time. You've not been exercising, most likely. You're stressed out to shit. You're not drinking enough water. You're eating too many carbs in general, and that gives you a friggin' bloated belly. I mean, look, I'm not a dietary nutritionist expert, but at the same time, let's fucking make some obvious basic changes before we start worrying about things that are quite minor.
I like it, buddy. I think a lot of people will complain that they've had a reaction to gluten when, in fact, like you said, they could have eaten that whole pizza. Well, you know, you have 12 slices of pizza and some garlic
That's
bread.
That's smashing your guts, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to feel a bit about it. Okay, so, right, next one. It seemed another big buzzword, all right? It's the last one, and then we're going to give some more three steps for guys they can follow. So hormones. Hormones was a big one a couple of years ago, mate. It's all about manipulating hormones. But the more and more I've moved on, I think, well, how can we really control our hormones, you know? I mean, we know that, you know, lack of sleep is going to release ghrelin and make you hungry. We know lack of sleep is going to release cortisol, but we can't always control lack of sleep, right, if we've got young kids, for one.
Yeah, my view is, like, I studied under Charles Parliquin, so yep. Biosignature was all about controlling hormones.
Yes.
And I think that the industry goes through trends, doesn't it? And
yes,
that's how we all learn. So my take on it is that control the controllables. If you are not getting the correct amount of sleep because you're a lazy bastard, you can't get yourself to bed on time, you're playing on your PlayStation, watching Netflix, watching porn even till bloody 2 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
and you've been drinking too much coffee in the evening and you can't actually get to sleep, you've got control of that, address it, because like you said, that's going to have an effect on
I like that. I like that. Yeah. Control if what you can control. Yeah, go on.
Control controllables. If it's like, right, we've got young kids, you know, the sleep's not great, our sleep's disturbed because of the young kids, then you can't control that, and that's just part of being a dad.
Yeah.
Other things, you know, the type, you know, the way you train can affect your hormones, but ultimately, nothing's going to affect your body composition as much as what food you're putting in your mouth.
And, I love it. Control, you know, what you can control. There's a nugget for you guys, all right? So, yeah, for those of you that are complaining about poor sleep, but you're maybe just up messing around,
yeah,
you've got control over that. All right, great. Great feedback on those three things. Okay, Russ, so look, we're approaching the end now, buddy, all right? So I like to say to my clients, if I just had 2 minutes with a newbie, this is what I would tell them to set them up for, you know, health, vitality and fat loss. So I want you to imagine you've got a busy over 30s guy. He might be listening to this. He's coming to you. He's walking into the gym or he's contacting you. He wants to make some changes. You've got 2 minutes to give him three really useful nuggets. What are you going to tell this guy?
First step, where you at now? Look in the mirror, total honesty. Get some type of metric. So whether you're an overweight dude, whatever the size your pants are, get some body fat done, some body fat percentages done. Let's get some facts about where are we right now. Off the back of those facts, how does that then make you feel? What is your honest reaction to that? What's your honest reaction to that within your relationship, with your missus, with your kids? How energized is your body? How do you actually feel? And we need to tap into that, because that's what's going to propel us,
yeah,
to start to make some steps and some changes forward. Number two, hire a coach. All right, if your computer breaks, you're going to go and get that computer fixed by a specialist. I've got a MacBook Pro here. If that breaks, I'm going 10 miles to the nearest Mac specialist.
Yeah.
Why do we treat our bodies any different? Get a frigging coach, guys. And number three is just a ruthless commitment to the plan that coach lays out. A ruthless commitment to the basics. A ruthless commitment to consistency, and a ruthless commitment to following the process regardless of what our feelings and emotions are.
I love that third one, because I see so many people just chasing different shiny objects, starting new plans. I was having a conversation recently with one of my clients on the retreat, and I was saying, look, dude, you've got to complete that plan first. Don't just fall off that plan and then go looking for something else. Like, decide what you're going to do and commit to that plan and follow it through. And I think that's a great bit of advice there, buddy. Follow that plan to the letter. All right, so, Russ, it's been awesome, dude. I'm just looking at what we've recorded. And, yeah, we've been chatting for about 1 hour and 15 minutes now, mate. Some real nuggets and some great content. I hope the guys are going to get some great value from this. So, Russ, look, before we wrap up, mate, I just want you to tell me a little bit, what's the plans for you for the rest of 2017, because we're not even out of January yet. What's the plans for Russ, personally, physically, business?
Yeah, so personally, my plans are to uphold the routine that I've gained from Warrior. So
yeah,
that's been significant change. That's been a significant change in my life. I now get up at 5 o'clock every morning and I get that shit done before,
really,
I leave the house. So yeah, I need to keep that going as a process. Gym goals are to hit my 200 kilo squat.
Ooh.
So I got up to 190, and then I got the shit for a month, like norovirus. And then I've got a wrist surgery, which I need to go off to this afternoon to get that looked at. And that's, I've got surgery next week. So I need to work around that a little bit. I think that's going to put my plan. I wanted to hit the 200 kilos for just before we hit 2017, but
sure,
I've not done that. I got to 190. So I've got some unfinished business there. And I'm not going to think about my other gym goals until I've hit that one.
Sure.
Home life, just continue to invest emotionally into my family, into my kids, and brilliant wife Michelle. Just
yep,
continue to make those relationships as good as I can make them. And business, we've laid out a 6-month plan of expansion that we're going to be pushing into. That's, you know, in operation from next week, really.
Tell the guys again exactly where the gyms are, because we might have some listeners in your area. I might want to come down and meet you, mate.
So it's RM Fitness, and the first gyms that we've had for 8 years now is in Wigan, right smack bang in the town centre, to be honest. And the second gym is in Manchester, six, again, smack bang in the city centre.
Boom. Excellent. Russ, I want to speak to you actually, because I'm sure you're going to have some contact. We've got to get a 30 plus men's fitness boot camp in Manchester. I've got to, mate, because it's an excuse for me to go and watch my beloved Man U. So, God, before we wrap up, Russ, tell everyone where they can find you on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Tell the lads, sell yourself, buddy, even more.
Yeah, guys, just I put a lot of content out on my personal Facebook profile. So yeah. It's just Russ Meadows.
Yeah.
You'll see me on there. I don't think there's too many. I've no doubt I'll be the ugliest one of them, so you'll be able to find me there. We've got a Facebook fan page that we put a fair bit of stuff out onto, which is just RM Fitness.
Yeah.
Instagram, I'm just Russ Meadows, and I don't use Twitter.
Yeah. Well, and also, guys, Russ is in the global group as well, so I'll tag him once we get this live, because we're good muckers. And guys, I'd strongly advise that you watch some of his training videos, because he's a fucking beast, to be fair. And I love watching his training videos. I love it when actually coaches actually put themselves out there and you see him training on camera, because that's tough, right, isn't it? You know, the train on camera is where it's at. So, Russ, listen, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much for, you know, moving this forward, because we were going to do it mid-Feb. And talking to me today, buddy. So yeah, excellent stuff, mate. Guys,
got
I hope
thing,
you
Trixie.
Go on.
One thing, I want to give you a shout out, buddy.
Oh gosh,
you're interviewing me on your podcast, but I don't think you sometimes realise what a good job you're doing for these guys, mate. They've got a lot going on, kids, families, pushing at work, and I think like your place is like a saviour for the lads that are inside of that global network. And I think I just as another coach, I want to recognise it publicly, like how good it is what you've built up, mate.
Oh, mate,
I'll give you a fucking shout out, mate.
Jeez, appreciate that, mate. I'll pop the check in a poster tonight, mate. I really appreciate that. So that's great to finish up on. So guys, I really hope you got some value from that. It's going to be available on Podomatic and also on iTunes. We'll be sharing it all over Facebook, so please give us a like and a share, and be kind enough to leave us a review. We have a 21-day online fat loss program, plus a 10-week muscle-up plan, plus a 12-week body sculpt with Renzo. All open now. You can find out more about that by simply subscribing to our email list at www.30plusmensfitnessplan.com or tagging me, Anthony, and Russ inside of the global group. So, guys, really appreciate you listening to this. And I'll see you this Saturday with Train with Treggs. In the meantime, look after your families. Keep on training hard. Keep on trucking, guys. Appreciate it.